Bonjour, Dominic.
Hola, amigo.
How are you going right this time? So, welcome.
It was a different language.
I was close in there. Anyway, welcome to Box 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 Podcast for a very special episode this time. And not only that.
A special sode.
Not only that. This time, what are we in, Dom?
HD.
Anyway, let's roll that intro music. So hello, I'm Sam, and
I'm Dom.
Welcome to Box Box Box, your new favourite. It's not even new now. Your favourite Formula One podcast.
But today we're not really going to be talking about Formula One all that much, are we?
Dom, you're a fake fan.
All right. I won't cry out for that.
No need. We've just had chicken shop.
It was good.
It was good. Sensational, mate. So what are we doing anyway?
So, as of right now, the first episode is live.
Yes.
And we've had some good feedback. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been... I just want to say, the general feedback's been really positive and it's been really nice. So, thank you to everyone who's given the feedback.
Everyone that's given us a shout-out, jumped on and just...
Just shown love.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. It's not... this isn't like something that we're pushing to try and, you know... be massive and break the internet or anything like that. It's more of this is something, it's a labour of love, isn't it?
Yeah, so, definitely. This is definitely a passion project for us.
It's just something that we like Formula One. We like talking about Formula One and sometimes it's funny. And here we are. But I think the two biggest things that the feedback that we've had has been, one is video. Here we are.
And big thank you to Baiten Studios who have been kind enough to lend us this space while we built our own.
Yes.
Massive thank you to you guys.
So we're here now. We've got a set. And the other biggest piece of, information that we've been told and feedback really is, who are you? Like, tell us more about you.
So that's what this episode is. This is the Get to Know episode.
Yeah. So we're here to tell you all about what we are, who we are.
How we got started.
Yeah.
How we are friends and everything like that. So, Dominic.
On a cold winter's night. No.
I know Dominic from crashing cars. No, I don't.
No.
Right, so, Dom, we've known each other now, what, 13 years?
A long...
14 years? At least.
It's been a while.
So, how did I first meet you?
Sam first met me by taking a photo of me while we were both at college, and I was studying music performance.
I'm so glad you got that in, because that sounded so creepy at the start.
I was doing music performance at college.
Take photos of me like your French girls.
This is what I have to deal with every day.
For context, this is our second attempt at recording this. The first one went wrong, but we hadn't eaten.
Yeah, we were hangry. That's the only explanation.
Yeah. Now we're back to our normal selves.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was taking photos of you like a French girl.
Yes. and yeah, well, as I said, I was studying music performance. What were you doing?
I was studying film and media production, specialising in TV and radio.
In radio?
As if, you know, like having a podcast now didn't just fall straight into what I studied.
That's why it works, I guess.
Yeah. Haven't used it since. Literally haven't used my degree since, but we move.
So, yeah, we kind of... there was a lot of back in and forth in about... you know, Sam doing photos was... it was like...
I'll be honest, I wasn't sure if I hit record on the camera.
So, yeah, it was me saying, Sam, oh, will you come take photos of my band or this, that, the other, and then
we sort of drifted apart a little bit, I guess, for a little bit.
Yeah, for a couple of years.
And
then we were both working in nightlife, both doing different things.
You were doing sort of sound engineering initially and doing some photos, and I was just doing nightlife photography before I got into DJing.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I was doing live setting for like bands at like local music venues and things like that, which was fun. I enjoy it, and but still do it every once in a while now, even doing what we do,
which we'll get onto later,
which we'll get to. But yeah, so we did well. Yeah, Sam was doing photos, I was doing sound, and then I got into, well, you were DJing by that point as well, and I was DJing, but we were like complete polar opposites of what we were both doing.
Yeah.
So Sam was doing obviously more of commercial clubby stuff, wasn't you?
Yeah, I was doing lots of like dance music at that point, and a lot of hip hop as well.
And I was more the alternative rock and metal stuff. And yeah, I think then I got into doing like club photography at a club I was working at, and I was seeing all Sam's work, and I was like,
This is whilst I was still primarily a nightlife photographer. DJing was sort of, I was just breaking through the industry then.
That's it. So, yeah. And I kept digging at him and being like, how the fuck do you do that? Like,
fuck you. Never turned it now. Jokes out. I was always like pretty open.
I think there was about a month period where I'd pestered you for like,
you pestered me so much. I was like, bro, just fuck off, man.
And then,
like, this is my thing.
And then, one day he's like, yeah, so you want to do this and do this and do this.
And you want to buy this flash.
Yeah. And yeah, so, we got a bit closer then. And I think there was a couple of times that you started running your own events as well.
I was doing Chaos then.
Yeah. So it was, Sam would even approach me and say, oh, will you come work the cloakroom or just the odds and sods jobs?
Or will you come DJ?
Yeah. It was
my rock room because this is.
Yeah. And then next thing you know,
I needed a sound system.
Yeah. Because I was heavily posting my little music shop looking bedroom that I had at home. Sam knew that I had some speakers, and he needed some speakers for the terrace area of a club night that he was doing. And yeah, and then I was DJing some wedding. Then I needed lights, and I knew that Sam had lights. So I was like, Sam, lend me lights. And
that happened for a while.
Yeah, we were back and forth in all the time, and it just got to a point where...
Well, I needed a new unit, you needed a new unit, and we said, well, why don't we just chuck all of our stuff in one unit?
Yeah.
And then pretty much at the same time, like, why don't we just go into one business? And I think at the time, the Show Pro brand, which was originally mine, that was the stronger of the two brands. So we sort of merged in under that one, and here we are.
Yeah, and
so if you need a sound and light or a big festival stage, because we don't do little things anymore.
What started off with a few things out of like, it was out of your garage and my bedroom, wasn't it?
Yeah, out of my garage to now having a couple of commercial units and doing big audio and big rumbly bass a lot.
That was kind of...
And big strobes and lasers and video walls and...
Strobes, lasers, pyrotechnics, walls, sparks, fire, CO2. Yeah. Do it all.
Confetti. There's nothing sexier than confetti.
There's nothing better.
There's nothing more satisfying than like seeing a big stadium blaster go off, just because, some poor bastard's got to clean it up.
For the whole confetti thing, I took one of our CO2 confetti blasters to one of my DJ gigs with me the once, and I remember letting it off at the end of the night for like not even like 10 seconds, and there was just...
It's just carnage. Night,
when everyone's left and the whole floor's just covered in confetti, I felt so bad. I went and got a broom and was there sweeping it up with the cleaners because I felt so bad. You don't realise how much confetti gets everywhere.
It's just carnage. It's carnage.
So much fun.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, like we kind of built that business between us to what it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, I joke around like with the whole, if you actually do one event equipment,
You know where to find us.
No, it's fine. It's just Showpro UK. But yeah, it's been a fun ride though. We've done lots of cool stuff along that.
Yeah, we've met some cool people along the way. We've met some good contacts. Even where we are now, the studio where we're recording, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for us
doing the events industry,
borrowing stuff off each other all that time ago.
I know, literally, it's gone almost full circle. Yeah. And obviously, the skills we've built up to do this and everything is all through that.
That's it. And we wouldn't be here doing a podcast that looks and sounds as good as it does if neither of us... Well, did what we did.
And quick context, neither of us really come from money either. We have like grafted everything.
We bought everything we've needed ourselves. No one's helped us.
No finance.
We're self-made. Somewhat. No, we are. We are.
Yeah, somewhat. But I mean, not only that, it's also like outside of sort of our business and everything, they're like,
we're not millionaires.
No, we're definitely not.
Probably, I mean, I drive a clapped out Honda Civic.
I drive a Merc and an MX-5, but we'll get to that. So yeah, I mean,
well, that's the business side of things.
That's the business side of it. There's us as well, and I think
we go back even, like, what should we say, like, I suppose it was like the back end of lockdown. So coming out of lockdown is where the real petrol head starts.
I mean, obviously, I went through a phase before you when I had...
So I was a late bloomer and I didn't pass my driving test until I was 27-ish.
I passed my test literally 10 years before you, when I was 17. But yeah, it's...
What was your first car, Sam?
Don't check my hard drive yet. It was a Vauxhall Corsa B with no power steering. Actually, no, it wasn't. I forgot. I had a full Fiesta before that.
I was going to say, you had a Fiesta.
I had a Fiesta, then a Corsa, then a Clio.
The Clio's the important one.
The Clio's the important one, because that's the one that I actually fucked about with and was like full on a Halford special. And for our international audience, Halford's is a aftermarket motor parts outlet. I feel that's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, they sell caravan equipment, camping equipment.
They do now. They
bicycles. Use,
back in the day, it was Halfords would be the place where you could go and buy Kicker.
Yeah. Car audio.
I feel Kicker and Alpine.
Kicker, Alpine, Sony.
Do you remember that Sony head unit that used to like that had the double, that had the double flip?
So yeah, Sam had his Clio, then
that I blew up.
Then a head gasket, wasn't it?
Yeah, head gasket.
Yeah. So that happened. Then he had the infamous 206 Peugeot
Quicksilver.
That was
had heated seats and aircon.
That was a car that kind of cements a lot into our relationship as friends, because,
and with cars.
Yeah, because it's like it was like a fancy all thinking, like, it was just,
you know, it was a comfortable car.
Yeah, it's more, there's a special story.
So
we were both working. Well, no, Sam was working. I just come along for the ride. Some Thursday night
in Solihull,
and you know, we'd done the stuff and it was time to go.
I'd finished DJing.
We needed fuel.
No, I don't think we needed fuel. I think we just wanted to stop for
snacks.
We needed a snack.
We needed post-gig snack.
Yeah. Because we were in our mid-20s and our body could just like do stuff like that. These days, I look at a McDonald's and I put in three kilos.
And yeah, so we'd gone, picked up some snacks, got back in the car, and the car did not start. And yeah, because obviously we... Like, Sam had been working. I used to take my laptop with me, and like sometimes we'd play back to back together. But
yeah, it was like a learning experience. You basically a work experience.
Yeah, and we waited for the breakdown company, and Sam manifested to himself, I'm gonna
fuck
have a
this
new
shit.
Audi.
I've got some money. I'm buying an Audi.
So
that was, I think that was my actual words. Yeah. I've had enough of this shit. I'm buying an Audi.
So fast forward 2 weeks or a month or so after that,
I pull outside his house
and he pulls up outside my house in this brand new Audi estate. It's fair.
But Dom's like, nah, you're not buying an Audi, you're just gonna get your car fixed because you're just pissed off. And I was like, nah, fuck this, I just want something solid and reliable.
Didn't your dad drive that 206 for a little bit after that?
Yeah,
well?
He got it fixed. My dad kept that going. For some reason, my dad never had a problem. It was clearly not me running shitloads of batteries in it and causing loads of electrical issues.
It's what it is, but yeah,
but not only that, do you I'll say about my Audi, and I didn't mention this on the first revision of this. As I said, this is the second version, and trust me, this is the better version. The first version was shit. but do you not remember the amount of problems I had with that Audi?
There was a lot of problems.
That car was doomed, you know.
I mean, how long did you have it? 4 years?
Five, maybe it's nearly 6 years, I think I had it.
And you put on how many miles in it?
152,000.
That's a lot of miles.
It is, but the thing is, it was never mechanical issues, though. No, it was just people crashing into it all the time. Like, literally, I never crashed that car till the end.
Yeah, well, that's what ruined it, I suppose. Well, it's still going, though, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you know what? To the person who owned it, the plate was YM66KHR. Reach out, I would like to see it.
Yeah. It's, you know.
If you're a Formula One fan, or if you know who owns that car, reach out, because I would like to see it just for sentimental value.
There you go. Andy's got the service history for it somewhere.
Yeah, so I've got all the service history. Probably got a spare key somewhere for it.
And we've still got the
the dog guards. I've got your tonneau covers.
That's it. So, but yeah, so while Sam had his Audi, I inevitably passed my driving test. I think one of the reasons why I never got my driving license from an early age.
I think you weren't that bothered initially.
I weren't that arsed, and I was pissed all the time. Like, working in nightlife.
Yeah, you just live for a sesh.
It was a very rock and roll lifestyle, I suppose. Like, it wasn't, like, amazing, but I did just used to drink a lot. So, and I didn't live far away from everywhere that was working, so it wasn't
so it wasn't a necessity sort of thing.
Yeah, but I think it was lockdown that kind of pushed me to the point. I was like, right, getting on a bit now, should probably get a driving license, and did.
Never look back.
Yeah, best thing I ever did. Did I wish that I did it sooner? Yeah,
but you also lived your best life.
That's it. And so is what it is. But yeah, I bought my first car, which I still have. I'm still driving today.
And what is it?
It's a Honda Civic. It's a Civic Sport.
Would you like to give some numbers for the for the techie people in the audience who are petrols?
It's a Civic EP2. It's a Type R-ish. It looks like one, but it's really slow, so it's not one at all. But it was featured on a Mighty Car Mods video.
It was. And if you want to know what that video is, it's on the Mighty Car Mods MCM TV 2. And I believe the video was called...
It was like Unicorn Circuit or something.
Yeah,
like
it's one of their podcasts.
But it's like Honda Type. Yeah. So, and I go around and talk about my car and give a quick tour around it, I guess.
Yeah, that's a fun video, that is.
It was funny. Which fun day. Sam filmed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, first car. Love it. Still got it, couldn't let it go. It's going to take a lot when the time comes to really let that go.
Because you've had other cars in between that, but I feel you've got real emotional attachment to that car.
Yeah, so that's obviously the car that.
And it is a solid car.
The thing is, it just fucking works. And yeah, and it makes me smile. And I look at it every time I look at it, I'm just like, hee hee. So,
well, that's what you want, though. That for me, like, as a petrol,
you don't smile when you look at you when you look back at your car after you parked it. You bought the wrong car.
I mean, like, I always joke about, because now I, as a daily driver, I've got a CLA 220D. It's the AMG line. For people who are listening, not on video, that was in air quotes. And it's one of them ones. I'm like, it's fun, it's fast. But I do look at it and I'm like, obviously, I bought the second hand this time. I bought it used. I didn't buy it from brand spanking new off the dealer forecourt.
I do think
the previous owner, the original guy, spec'd it really well.
Well, it's
like, it's got nice wheels.
I've driven it. It's nice to drive. It's comfortable. It's fast. It's more than fast enough for anything on the UK roads.
Incredible on fuel.
And yeah,
that's what I need as a daily.
It is a bit boring to drive.
That's what I mean. It's got no soul.
Yeah, there's no character.
It's got no soul. Like. But then that brings us on sort of, fun cars and... And before we get into fun cars, I think we need to talk about the Hasbros. This t-shirt will be online for sale soon on... What's the website, Dom?
It is on sale. Hasbros.uk. It's a car club that we run. So
for the people who aren't watching, I did just show the t-shirt on the video.
So before we get to the car club, there's... Yeah. A car that I used to own, another Honda Civic. It was a EP3 Type R, the actual fast one of what my current and first car is meant to look like. But
that was so fast.
Yeah, it was. Don't get me wrong; they're not the fastest car in the world, but they make a lot of noise, or at least my one did.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's still fun to throw around a country road and enjoy a leisurely drive, should I say.
You know, your black EP3, I mean, obviously you did spend like 9 months polishing it because you couldn't legally drive without a passenger, but it was an awesome car. I do believe the fate of that, which I'm sure the people can work out what happened.
I didn't have my driving license very long. I thought I was a better driver than I was.
You were an inexperienced driver.
And it turns out I was not. But that's that. And then,
but that's life, mate.
Then I sold it in also worse for wear condition. And
still started and drove, though.
It still started and drove. And the engine ended up getting shipped out. Originally, it went to Barbados, and then it got shipped from Barbados to Jamaica. And now, the engine out of that car is in an all-wheel drive turbo build in a EG, I think.
I'm not like, that's fucking cool, you know.
And yeah, so it's still going. Credit to Hondas, it's still going.
But during all this time of sort of...
Well, that led... Well, that
well before
that,
the car club, I'd sort of... I mean, when I bought my Audi, I really fell out of love with cars.
Yeah.
Like, because I was having issues with my Audi. Yeah. That, like... And then, obviously, there was all just...
It was pain, wasn't it?
And that, it was absolutely pain. And not only that, like, the scene was just the general scene that you'd see was just dickheady.
Yeah, it was just full of people with good credit and poor life decisions.
Yeah, people who can afford a £500 a month plus insurance on an M140, what, M135 then?
Yeah.
And just, or like a Golf R.
I think with a lot of the things that have gone on in the UK as well, they'd put, not that, like, obviously street racing isn't illegal, but they've really clamped down on it and they wanted to stop a lot of it.
I've never really been one for street racing anyway.
No, it's not that kind of thing. It's more...
No, it's not.
But obviously, those are the people that give the car scene, especially in the UK, a bad rep. It's like Mustang drivers in America, I suppose.
Yeah, it's and for me, like, I really fell out of love. And then I remember you mentioned to me about Caffeine the Machine.
Yeah.
And I was really hesitant. I'll be totally honest, I was. I didn't feel...
Well, because of even while I was still on L plates and I didn't have my driving license, I was going...
You'd always find a passenger princess.
Yeah, I'd always find someone that would come out with me so that I could go and do things. And yeah, so... And... Yeah, there was a few people foolish enough to come out with me in my car.
I did a couple of times. I was like, yeah, absolutely never again.
Yeah, so...
He's a better driver now. He's actually a really enjoyable driver to be with.
There we go.
Doesn't feel like I'm going to die all the time.
But yeah, so that was that was like one of those things. And I said to Sam, I was like, come on, you know, come and experience this. Come and meet some of these people. And yeah, there's some people you already knew from like our mutual friends.
Yeah, like who...
Jamie, who I mentioned before, I tried to kill go-karting one time. He came with us.
Yeah.
Vinny, guy that used to live over the road from, he came. That I bought my Honda off, he came with us.
It was like sort of the initial... It was the initial founding of like sort of what was the car club initially.
It started off as a group chat. And
But I do remember we went to CAF and I was like, I've...
You saw the good side of the car scene.
It made me realise. I was like, you know what? It's still that good people. They've just found a new place, a new haven, like, to escape. And I think that's what I love about CAF, though, is CAF in the Machine, and Phil who owns it, is that mentality. Is like, you can't pay to play.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got something...
Everyone's
cool.
Welcome.
If you've got something cool, like, and they actually think it's cool.
You don't even need to be something cool. You can turn up in a 107 that's bone stock.
I've been there and seeing people like rock up in like a 206 GTR, which, fair enough, these days is a cool car, but I remember they were like £300.
Yeah.
Right. I remember people turning up in them, like, I've turned up and seen, like, parked in like the sort of show area where they've got the shop, and you'll see something that is just a really clean example of something.
Yeah.
And it'll just be like an old hot hatch.
Yeah. Well, last time I went there...
Like, you rarely talk Lamborghinis and stuff. It's always something that's actually got a bit of history or is cool.
There's always something
cool
with a story.
Cool for its own reason.
Yeah, or like character. The last time I went, they had a Mark IV Escort Cosworth, I think it was. I don't know when the last time
you went.
Talking
my language here, Dom.
The last time... I don't know if it was there the last time you went, but they've built like this glass... It's essentially like...
I haven't been. I know what you're on about, but I haven't been since they built that.
I can't think of what.
It's like a glass enclosure that they can put cars inside.
It looks like a conservatory's just been dumped. That's the only way I can describe it. That's what it looks like. But it's really cool. They put cars in there and they light it up. And yeah. So, but yeah, we went Caffeine the Machine, and next thing you know, all of us in this funny group chat, we were just like, we should make it a car club, because I was part of a car club and I wasn't really feeling it in there.
No, again, you were part of a car club that was very much the problems that I had with the car scene.
Yeah, I think because they were like a subsidiary of another big car club that were mainly like London based, and they had a bit of a bad rep. It was just, there was some people in there, it was a bit crap. But Yeah, there was people in that club that I liked. There was people in the club that I didn't like. And I'll always remember the first time I turned up to one of their meets. Like, it wasn't an event. It was just like a car meet somewhere. And we went, I turned up with one of my friends in the passenger seat on L plates. And in my Honda that I so dearly love, and that I'd only had maybe 4 or 5 days, was over the moon about it, like still in the honeymoon phase with it, and some guy with a 8P Audi S3 says to me as I get out of the car, who I've met before, and goes, best thing you can do with that is drop a match in the petrol tank. And I was just like,
dickhead.
Yeah, you know. And it just made me, it just really upset me. And I was just like, so, and I think from that moment on, it
puts you off like a lot of car clubs.
Yeah, I don't like that thing with the club that we
end up finding.
It's like everything.
Well, to be honest, you end up finding, like, I'm part of the original people, but it was definitely sort of you were the driving force of it.
It's more,
and you are still the driving force of it as well.
I just tried to be the dad. That's all. Like, I'm just like everyone. Like, I'm Daddy Aspro.
You're Daddy Dom.
Daddy Dom. So. And like, I don't ever, when people turn up, like I said, like we've got a guy in the club that has a 107 that has got electrical tape racing stripes on it that he's done himself.
Oh, but I love him. Ben? I look, Ben, I know you're going to listen to this. We actually genuinely, we know we have warned you, but we love you to bits.
So, and I treat him like my little son.
But say he's like my nephew. I love him.
Yeah. So,
and it, again, I think with the club as well, it's such a supportive group of people. It's not. It's about the cars.
We don't judge about what you've got. It's like
there's some people who've got some fucking cool shit in our club, like Tobias and Zoe with the Cuban Skyline, who are literally next door right now. We've got Jamie with his Evo, Andy's Evo, Phil Saab.
Yeah. Oh, there's lots of cool stuff in.
But
then there's
just utter shit boxes that are falling apart. But
that's what we're here for. And they've got a story behind them, and there's a reason why there are shitbox that's falling apart. Tell us about it. That's what we're there for.
The cars that got us properly back into, I'd say again, really strengthened our friendship.
Yeah, that really got us into cars, strengthened our friendship, and really helped start the club properly, but as be it more than just a couple of friends.
Yeah, rather than just a couple of friends who go to car meets, a couple of friends who actually ain't afraid to get their hands dirty.
Yeah.
We're the Mazdas.
It's at the point where we've got like a couple hundred members in our club that you've got the regulars that come and do stuff, but it the car that kind of really pushed us to do more with the club and ourselves and the cars themselves was I'd bought a Mark II Mazda MX-5 and I didn't tell Sam about it for like a couple of days and I bought it. I was like, right, I'm going to surprise him.
I'll be totally honest. I thought he'd bought an engagement ring for his now ex-girlfriend.
But yeah.
That would have been awkward. Babe, bought Mazda.
Yeah, so I bought it, didn't tell Sam, and I was like, I've done something, but I can't tell you what it is. I need to show you. And he was like,
I was concerned that you'd just broken some law or you'd done something stupid.
So, yeah.
Or you were having a child.
Yeah, luckily not. But anyway, I turned up at our office the one day and was like, yeah, come outside. And I was there. It was like a nice warm day with roof down.
I think I was sat in the office. It was air conditioned. Yeah. I was like, bro, it's fucking warm outside.
Just come outside and look at this fucking thing. And he's like, okay. And he comes out and he's gone, fucking Miata. And like, yeah. And
Miata. I'm like that girl at the Nürburgring. Have you seen the one where there's that Mark 1 MX-5 following the GT3 RS and it's like like, and the guy's like, and then it gaps to 3 RS because turbo MX-5s.
Well, that was it.
Nothing's quicker than one.
He came out. I was like, come on, let's go for a little drive. And we went for a little drive round and he's like, this is fucking amazing. I fucking love it. And he's like, I'm going to get one. And it was like,
yeah. And you're like, yeah, of course you are. And then literally I was like, damn, I've done a thing.
Yeah. And what was it, like 2 weeks later?
Yeah, 2 weeks. I remember I bought like literally a really clean example Arctic, which there's like, what, 500 Arctics?
Is it? I don't know.
I think it's like 500 Arctics. Fake fan. Mazda, man. But yeah, like a somewhat, in inverted commas, collectible.
Yeah, it was in good nick.
Yeah, it was really
relatively
clean.
Low mileage.
Relatively low mileage.
Like, stock.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm going to keep this stock and keep it locked in resale value.
Keep it original, yeah.
Oh, how that went wrong.
Yeah. That went real wrong real fast.
Real wrong real fast.
Yeah.
You know what? For this episode, I think we need to put some photos of our cars up. Like, and I need to put, like, the stock photo of when I first had it versus how it is now.
Well, we're not doing that for my car. So I'm just going, like, which one? All of the above.
Tom's car is completely stock.
My car is stock.
Your car is absolutely stock.
Both of my cars are stock.
Yeah, both of your cars are stock.
My Honda's got a bit of a sound system. But
your Honda's on, like, Teggy wheels.
Honda wheels.
Which are still OEM wheels.
Honda wheels.
And bigger sound system. That's, like my Mazda is quite modified.
Well, that's the thing, like, I had my Mazda, and, like, when we first started messing around with cars, we didn't really, like, we did discs and pads on the Audi.
Yeah, and
we did
general servicing stuff, let's say general servicing.
And then I decided to go blowing my Mazda up, which...
Unfortunately, from neglect.
Yes. Turns out you're meant to put oil in them and change it. I did know, I just neglected it.
To be honest, you were too busy.
I abused it a little bit too much. And
how the diff is still working, you know.
I changed the diff oil in it when we changed your discs and pads on the Audi.
No, it was that was the Audi one.
I did. Basically, I changed all the fluids.
I thought that's when I did the Mazda, because I had the Mazda on the ramp.
Yeah, but you did your Audi first, and then while I was doing mine, you went and dropped the Audi back.
We rented a ramp for one day, and we got our money's worth.
We got our money's worth.
We serviced three cars in a day.
Serviced three cars, changed the discs and pads on the Audi.
Changed discs and pads on the Mazda.
Yeah.
Serviced both the Mazdas.
Yeah, we went in.
Gearbox oil, everything.
So, yeah, we did all
that. The smell of gearbox oil.
Not nice.
It's not nice.
But, yeah, so...
Anyway, yeah.
Blew my one up, and I didn't really have much of a choice.
I think your Honda had just spun a belt on it. Your timing belt snapped on it or something, didn't it?
It jumped timing.
Yeah, so it needed, basically...
So, the Honda was off the road, the Mazda was now blew up, and I went, oh, shit, what am I going to do? So... I thought to myself, how hard is an engine to swap? Turns out, not that hard, but still...
On a Mazda MX-5.
Yeah, but still pretty hard. Wouldn't recommend, but we did it. With the help of a few friends from the car club, yeah. We fucking did it. Outside my house, at the side of the road, in the middle of winter, we did it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, you know what, that was... I think for our friendship, like...
That was a test for a lot of things, and yeah.
Paul, I know you're going to listen to this. I love you to bits. I love you, like family. I've never wanted to almost chin you as much as when you kept coming out and cracking the jokes, you know.
You did help us find out what was happening.
Yeah, but I love you, Paul. I love you, Paul.
That was the one thing I think I felt the same way. And yeah, but we did it. We did it. We changed it.
Mate, I'll always remember that first crank.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. We did we changed the whole engine, all was well, and then we're like, right, first turn of the key, like first time.
I've got that video. We'll put that up as well.
It started first turn of the key, not very well, but it started and ran.
No, it didn't. It just fired like smoothly.
Yeah, it fired up, but
and then it started to smoke a little bit because we didn't tighten the EGI. EGI, yeah.
So there was a couple of things.
Then he won them when he turbo.
But yeah, and then. Yeah, and then I got my Honda back, and then my Mazda's now sat in my driveway looking a bit sorry for itself at the moment. But
I mean, so is mine, but mine's feeling sorry for itself for a much more exciting reason, which brings me on to mine. So obviously, Dom kept his quite, well, pretty much stock. Yours was just a fun little weekend car that you were dailying for a bit because it was just...
I was dailying it because I didn't have a choice.
It was
not recommend dailying a Mazda MX-5 when you're 6'7".
I mean, to be fair, I had to daily
mine. The winter.
I mean, I say that. Do you remember I was dailying mine when I crashed my Audi? Because unfortunately, like, don't push yourself too hard, guys, when you work. Because your ability to react isn't as quick. Not proud of it, but I'm open to admit that...
Shit happens.
That we all make mistakes. It wasn't drink driving or anything like that. It was just pure exhaustion.
Do you want to tell them, like, actually what happened?
Right, so basically, my Audi, I was driving back from a DJ gig. Dom will vouch for me on this. I've never wanted to drink when I DJ. Like, I live my best
life. We both like driving far too much to
risk to risk my license for it. So,
I've been working before and I'll have like one drink and then I'll be like, oh, I'd love another one. And I'll go, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get on it. But if I'm going to get on it,
you're booking a hotel and stopping.
Yeah, either I'll get a taxi home and leave my car where it is or stay in a hotel or something, because it's not worth it.
No, it's not. But what I was saying, so yeah, it was. I remember crashing. It was on my mum's birthday.
Oh, God,
I remember that. So sorry, mum. But yeah, I remember it was March time. I was really busy over that March. I think I had a really busy Christmas. I had an all right January and February, and I was just exhausted.
I remember you messaging me because obviously I would have just finished work when it happened.
Yeah,
because I was working a little. Well, bit
Well, I remember. I think I called you like three times.
Yeah, the first time I was in the chicken shop getting food. I remember, and I was just like, he's ringing me. I was like, I'm just talking to boss man. I'll call him back when I get back in the car.
Then it was again,
and I was like,
And that is the third time you're like,
I was like, all right, this is important.
You were like, you're right. I was like, yeah. So, basically, I drifted off for probably half a second. Literally, it was and I woke up parked up in some traffic cones.
Your car was like Pac-Man.
Yeah, literally. You know, to be fair, my 80 fared quite well off it. It had a little bit of damage underneath. And you know what? To the guy who put that back on the road, I genuinely would love to see that again. Just to see it back on the road.
Yeah.
Just for the amount
of a lot of memories in that.
Yeah,
car,
I have.
So, I mean,
I was a bit sad.
The amount of McDonald's we consumed in that.
Do you know
what
I'm actually sad though as well with that car is I never really got to say goodbye to it.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
Like that was the part that killed me was the fact that I was like, well, I remember saying,
think of how many hours of your life you've spent in that car.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you came with me when it happened, and I was laughing about it.
That was one of those. If you didn't laugh, you would have cried.
Yeah, 100%. And I was upset. I was very upset, but it was it was still one of those ones where, like, it was, make sure you look after you. Tiredness does kill people, and I hate to be that guy, but,
from
like,
from when that happened to you.
Like, now, if I'm tired, I just pull over and have
I was going to say, we both, now, because we do a lot of driving at night with both of us DJing, it's just like...
And with ShowPro as well, it's like, it's... Just pull over.
Especially on the motorway, like, windy country roads and stuff aren't...
You know,
to be
I'm better on windy country roads because you've got to be attention, but the motorway, it's so easy just to drift off half second.
It's boring. Especially, it was average speed where
it's average speed check. Like, because you're not... You're doing the bare minimum.
You're just like...
And unfortunately, that's the problem with modern comfortable cars, is it?
Yeah.
Because I think my radar guided cruise control with lane assist.
Yeah.
Like, you're not driving... And that's all it takes. But yeah, so the point of that story, though, is that I remember going back to the Mazdas, is that I remember that had happened, and they gave me... Well, initially, I had a shitty Corsa at first. Then I got done for speeding in 35 and a 30.
We don't condone speeding here.
No, we don't.
I have a speed awareness course tomorrow. Yeah. We don't condone speeding.
Still, 35 and a fucking 30 in a Corsa.
58 and a 50, mine was...
Ooh, but yeah, so literally I had this course. I went, yeah, it's all right. And then obviously they took that back. The body shop who did it.
Yeah, this was before you crashed it, wasn't it?
No, this was a crash. Oh, okay. This was a crash, and they took my car, and the body shop gave me a Curtis car until my insurance gave me one.
Yeah.
And then I remember I was trying, I was like, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Because I joke about courses, but the new courses are actually, they're good cars.
It's most new cars. It's
part of the fact they have a wet belt.
Yeah. Oh,
we'll get into that. That's another touch subject. Anyway, I digress. So they took that back, and my insurance gave me a piece of shit i10 Hyundai.
It was that bad. He decided rather than driving around in a fairly newish courtesy car,
I'm just going to drive my Mazda everywhere.
And he's going to drive around in his.
I'm going to drive around doing 20 miles to the gallon.
Dude, just.
Couldn't do it. Honestly, I've never hated a car so much.
You know it's bad when, yeah.
But I think with my Mazda as well, it's like, I always had plans of what I wanted to do. When I accepted, I started modifying it.
Yeah.
I always had a few plans. And I think the thing of where I am with it now is kind of why it's off the road at the minute. It's not like yours, where yours off the road because you want to put some time and love into it when you have.
I just want to, at the moment, while it's a bit cold, soggy and wet, I don't want to be wrenching on my own car outside.
No, I'm quite lucky that I've got a garage.
When it gets a bit warmer, then I'll start sorting it back out, making it a bit nicer again, because it's, at the moment, it just needs a little bit of love. And once I've given it a bit of love, I'll probably drive it again for a little bit, especially with the warm coming back, and
yeah,
do some roof down driving, and then I'll probably be looking to get rid of it.
But I mean, with mine, obviously I've said I'm never selling mine, but I started doing, well, I went and did track down mine, and all I'd done at that point was lower it. And then after that, came back from a track day, it was like, right, I'm going to put some better tyres on. So I put some ADOA RSs on. Really, are they RSs or are they? Yeah, they're ADOA RSs, aren't they?
ADOA R's, the older ones.
Yeah, mine are, even. So I put those on.
For the tyre nerds. They're just race car tyres, basically.
So, yeah, they're 76.
Road legal race car tyres.
They're basically like Formula One wet tyres.
Yeah, pretty much.
So put those on. Was slightly better, but then I did a couple of
sticky.
I did a couple of track days, and I remember saying to you, I was like, I enjoy them, but I'm just sick of getting bullied on track, because there's always somebody who's in like a M3, M4 best car.
To be honest, there's nothing.
Nothing worse than being the slowest person on it.
Yeah, when you go for like a track day, if you go in an MX5, and there's almost definitely going to be everyone else. Well, you're almost definitely going to be the slowest car.
Especially as I'm in the 1.6, not the 1.8.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad I have that engine now for when we get to.
They're very slow, but they're lots of fun. They're not built to be
designed
a really fast car.
The fast car was the RX-7.
Yeah. They were designed to be something fun that you can, something that's, it's no more than a handful for everybody.
They're a fun weekend car, and the running joke with the UK was that they were hairdressers' cars.
Yeah.
But honestly, they are. They're proper drivers' cars.
They're good cars.
Like they loads handle well. And they are great around the track. But
are and around about.
But yeah. But so I like sort
you
of said
ready
to
for
you.
That, was you?
No, I wasn't. I sort of said to you, I was like, right, I want to make this proper quick. I want to make this almost like Time Attack car, because it's fully harnessed out now. It's got a cage going
in. It's safe.
It's safe. It's got good brakes. It's got good tyres. Everything else is set up now. It's got some aero stuff on it. And I was like, I need to go quick. So in November, I bought a turbo kit with quite possibly the biggest turbo. If you go to any of the UK shows, if you look for Silvano's Miata on Instagram, you'll see you'll see what my master looks like. Find me, and if you see me, ask me to lift the bonnet, and I'll show you the size of this absolute snail on it.
He's a big boy.
But obviously that's sort of on hold at the minute, because I've got
it's a work in progress. We'll get there.
Yeah, I think the problem is because I bought the kit secondhand, and it has been a massive puzzle. Again, we've never done a turbo conversion in our life.
But we'd also never swapped an engine in.
That's kind of the thing, and it's what we thought was with.
We thought if we can swap an engine, granted, we were taking one part out and putting another part in, the same.
And don't get me wrong,
still a struggle.
I feel I've made good progress. It's been mainly me and Vinny.
It's been a learning curve for all of us.
We've done a lot of it. But I think it's definitely, it's been a real, it's tested me emotionally a few times, you know.
Yeah. But that's the thing that's kind of, I think that's the whole thing behind our love for cars and being petrol heads, and that is what's kind of brought us closer, because we've obviously worked together now doing the work that we do for so long.
6-7 years now.
Yeah, and I feel like the love for cars...
And probably 10 years before ShowPro.
Yeah, so the cars have kind of just pulled us...
They pull the friendship rather than the work together.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think where this linked back into F1 is obviously, like, again, like during COVID, me and him, like, we weren't really, I would say we played games, but we were console gamers.
Yeah.
We started gaming during COVID, bought gaming PCs because there's nothing else to do. So it was like,
it was just before COVID where we started getting into it.
But it was like, there's not, like, the world was getting a bit mad. So it was like,
we started preparing what we could.
And then obviously we were playing games for a bit, and then we sort of dripped off, and then you sent me a message like, have you played F1 22? Like, it's on sale on CD keys or something, like cheap.
Yeah, it was like £6 or something.
Yeah, so you were playing and you're like, mate, it's sick. And then obviously I bought it and we played a season. I was like, this is sick. And then your old man was like,
Yeah, my old man was like trying to get me to get back into watching F1 again.
So you bought Sky Sports F1?
Yeah, and it was this season. I completely forgot. We've literally spoken about it once and I've forgotten already.
Yeah.
So the start of this season, the day of the first race, well, last season, the day of the first race, or was it? I can't remember. Yeah, it was Australia. I don't know. Anyway, it was one of the races. No, it was definitely the first race of the season. And he said to me, like, oh, you know, you've got all these streaming services, haven't you? Like, have you got Sky?
And I'm like, Sky Sports F1.
No, I haven't got... He's like, oh, I wanted to watch the F1. Like, he caught a few of the races the season before and he was like, it got interesting. And obviously with Abu Dhabi 21, that kind of made him... Well, spoke about it in an episode before, how my dad told me to watch it and I got into watching Abu Dhabi 21 by running my girlfriend at the time a bath, putting a bath bomb in, and then while she's in the bath watching the race, and then she gets out of the bath, comes back and she goes, oh, what are you watching? And she's like, oh, the F1, my dad told me about it. She's like, oh, go back. Obviously, it was the controversial ending and we watched the ending of it together because it was like, whoa, this is mental.
But yeah, I think...
Well, it was... I watched that first race and I said to Sam, I was like, bro, F1's fucking sick again. You need
and,
to get
and
back
then
into
I
it.
Watched it and I was like, yeah, this is fucking unbelievable.
That was it.
And then in that time, a place in Birmingham called Formula One Arcade opened.
Yeah.
Which, if you aren't aware of what Formula One Arcade...
I think it opened just before the season, didn't it?
I think, it was just before the 2023 season that it kicked that it opened.
Yeah.
And they did the end of 23, start of 24.
No, it was the... It was just before the... No, it was before the 24 season, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think it was the tail end of 23, because I know they did the Vegas GP and everything there.
Because I remember when it opened, obviously trying to book in not long after it opened and making sure it didn't clash with like a race day or something like that. So, but yeah, that was it. It was after we'd watched a couple of episodes, a couple of races at home.
We started going there like just to, as a social place.
Leisurely, didn't we?
Like,
yeah.
And then
we obviously like driving games, we like driving sims.
And then it came to like that I knew one of the managers there.
Yeah.
Big up to Hodges, big up your big bad self. And I remember messaging him and saying, oh, is there anything available work-wise? Can I get involved with Formula 1 Arcade in any way, shape, or form? At that moment at the time, he was like, oh,
no, fuck off.
It wasn't like that. He was like, yeah, Rotor's full because it's all organised through this DJ. I can leave that DJ nameless. Some time passed and I had a message saying this person is now out, looking to bring on some new talent. Which sort of brought the current major lineup, well, the new people, like, well, I came through first because Hodges messaged me, went, you could do hosting. And then Max, who's head of music for F1, big up Max, your big bad self. he obviously reached out. I got booked in for a Thursday as a trial shift. And then he was like, oh, you fancy hosting a watch party? I was like, yeah, sure. And
when?
Following Sunday. No, it was that Sunday.
Yeah.
And that, like, our message, I was like, yeah, sure. And then I messaged Dom. I was like, mate, need some emotional support.
I went to watch the race personally.
But you were
into working.
But, well, I think the thing is, it's like, with me and you, we've always done that when we go to gigs, though. We always, like,
if it's a new gig, it's somewhere new, and the other person isn't working as well, it's like,
yeah,
come with it.
If it's not a venue, it's our standard forte, which there isn't much these days that we can't step in and do.
We've done a lot.
What one of us will always make sure we're there, just more than anything, just as a
more on support.
Yeah, more on support.
Just like when we're working on cars.
But yeah, obviously I remember I did that and I was really nervous. It took me a while to get into it, but I think just working at Formula One, getting to watch it all the time, but then you have people talk to you about Formula One, and it's,
well, that was it. It was like when we recorded this earlier, we said it's like the hardest part for you was you'd not done a gig where you'd had to use a microphone.
No, and where I had to like interact with people, interact with people like face to face. I mean, don't wrong, like now, a lot with this, like this is so
second
natural
nature.
Again now.
Yeah.
But it's a real big stepping stone initially back into doing that.
We just kind of vibed with it, didn't we?
And the thing as well is because I was DJing and hosting at the time, that was stressful. That was an idea of stress me, but now, like, it's
easy. You know how it is.
Yeah, I know the ways around it. But yeah, I think with Formula One Arcade though as well, again with us, it definitely pushed forwards, like sort of in the friendship and how we sort of it just became that safe, like that safe space. And it's, if you're a Formula One fan, and this genuinely is not an advertisement for Formula One, okay, we're not, this podcast isn't affiliated with them. We just show the brands that we like.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those, like the first, obviously I go along with Sam and I've invited people to come with us in the past. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's about £30 to get in for race day for the, obviously the actual Grand Prix. And some people are like, oh, that's a bit expensive. And I initially looked at it the same way, but the way that, like, you've got to justify it in, I would say, although I've never attended a race at like an actual Grand Prix myself,
yeah,
I would say that it is the second best way to experience a Formula One race than being at the circuit.
You've got all the atmosphere there.
The atmosphere is incredible. You've got free use of the simulators during the race.
You've got React Walls on. There's loads of stuff. There's giveaways.
Competitions. You get some of the teams. You have people, representatives from there. Some of the sponsors come in.
Yeah, it's just a great atmosphere. And it's one of those ones where even if you can't afford every race, which I understand that a lot of people can't.
Yeah, on the flip side,
how I do look at it sometimes, I'm like, Sky Sports F1 is how much these days?
About 30 odd quid a month. Yeah, I stopped paying for it because I couldn't do with F1.
Sky Sports F1 is 30 quid a month, right? There's how many races a month? Two,
sometimes three.
But yeah, so it's one of those ones where once you offset it, like, say, for example, like if you've got a big family, it makes sense. But if you're on your own, it's a place where you can go.
You can go on your own. You can go on your own, even if you haven't got like any F1 merchandise.
The amount of people who you see there, and you'll just talk to them.
Yeah.
And they'll, because it's that.
You're all there for the same reason.
For me, Formula One is what Caffeine the Machine is to petrolheads.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just a safe space. And the food and drink there is actually banging.
Yeah.
The food and drink there is really good. And I think it's just the team. It's like a lot of the people who are there, and like some of the staff, like you speak to them, they never watched Formula One before they worked there. And they're there and they're like,
Can't take their eyes off the screen. They religiously watch it
because I think I've never experienced Formula One like that until I worked there.
Yeah, that exactly the same. The only way I'd ever experience Formula One would be sat at home watching it on a Sunday with my dad.
Which it ain't the same.
No, like don't get me wrong. Like my dad gets upset sometimes when I leave and come and watch the race. Yeah, because he's like, I've got to sit at home and watch it on the. And because I've stopped paying for Sky Sports now, he's like, I've got to wait for it to be 4. So, but sometimes I bring him with him with me to F1 Arcade, and it's nice for him as a little treat. I think he did like 3-4 races last season.
I'm really bringing Jason.
That's another thing. They have competitions. I think they do them every race weekend. They have the competitions.
Yeah, there's a competition for free tickets,
and you get free entry. So if you win, like so.
But you know what?
Check them out. It's definitely worth it. And even if you don't want to go watch the race, the simulators and that driving experience as well. Loads of fun.
Yeah, that's a personal endorsement from us.
That's us shouting them out because we can, not because they're paying us.
No.
Because they're not paying us.
They're paying me, but to DJ, not to shout on this podcast. But I think that's a good way to wrap it up, you know. I think we should do this every sort of 3 months. We should just do a little check-in.
Yeah, well, it's one
outside of Formula One.
If you guys liked this format of episode, obviously
comments. Oh shit!
Yeah, if you're not enjoying it and you know you've learned everything you need to know, then by all means. But I mean, you can follow us on our own personal journeys. I suppose Instagram's our most active social media, really, isn't it? So
yours is on your laptop down there. Yeah.
Well, my Instagram.
I'm not ready for that. It's just a tongue. I can't wait to hear that on the audio recording.
So my Instagram is @DJDonCook.
Mine is @CentioSilvano.
That's where you can find out what we're up to. Also got the
Car Club.
Oh yeah,
the Car Club. @AsbrosUK.
Yeah, and if you want to get a T-shirt, asbros.uk.
/store. But the main one, and the one that we're all here for today, is @BoxBoxBoxPod.
That's it. We're on everything.
Literally. If you look at the video, it is the big logo behind us.
You know who we are.
And also, massive shout out once again to Baytown Studios for giving us this space.
Yeah.
That's all for now. We'll resume back to normal Formula One podcastings. But yeah,
Friday, every week.
And then when the race season starts, Monday and Friday, we'll talk about the schedule on the next episode.
I'm sure.
Hold up. I need to stop doing that, you know, it's getting fucking annoying now.
Thanks for listening, as always. I've been Dom.
I've been Sam.
Until next time, love you, bye.
This has been Box Box Box. Love you, bye.